And we've just witnessed the barrier draws for ID18 Inter-Dominion, the finals in both the Trotters and the Pacers. It's great to have Adam Hamilton, the guru of harness racing from Sky and the Tab, join us as well. And Andy Gath, who is going to have such an important night because he has Tornado Valley, who is the $1.70 favourite after the barrier draw for the Trotters final. Andy, to you first. Initial reaction, Speeding Spur 1, you've drawn 6.
Yeah, obviously we were happy with a front row draw, so 6 is, you know, fairly good because he does leave the gate pretty good, especially from out wide. But your main opposition wasn't too thrilled that he drew barrier 1, especially that they're staying with us and I'm looking after them. So probably turns it into a great race. They're the top two chances they have been throughout the series, and you know it's going to be, you know, a big charge to that first turn to see who can actually lead.
Adam, we've spoken to Dan and also Bonners about their reactions. What's your reaction to the barrier draw in the Trotters final?
My initial reaction was it's evened up the race to some extent, and the betting reflected that when he was $1.60 out to $1.80. But just keep going back to Ballarat last Tuesday night when he was able to balance up from the wide draw and then just go bang and just launch and get across them. So I still think there's a tremendous chance he'll find his way to the front, Tornado Valley. But what we do know is he doesn't have to lead to win. I think he's got a little bit on them. He appears to be going upwards as the series goes on, whereas a few of the others have plateaued or arguably even going down.
He can fire up a bit, Andy. So I gather he's got the natural gate speed, but he wouldn't be rushed out. And you'd think every horse that's won off the pegs will all be waiting for him to go up and at a minimum sit without cover, if not glide on by. But he can get a bit keen. If we had to pick on something, that's about the only thing I would think he could be susceptible to.
Yeah, no, definitely. Especially over 2,700, you don't want him to get pulling, especially early in the race. And it's probably why Kate let Red Hot Tooth go at Cranbourne, just wary that it was 2,500, didn't want to get in a war and sort of know that she could do a retake anyway. So, if the horse has got one fault, he can fire up a little bit. But
he doesn't stop when he fires up, though. It's not as if he pulls himself into the ground and then weakens.
No, it doesn't. But again, still, 2,700 is a long way, especially if you're going to be an early burn. So, it's always a concern, but again, it hasn't stopped him yet. But he is pretty fast out. He just sort of runs the gate naturally and sort of Ballarat. Kate wasn't going to come out originally and, you know, just going to come out nice and see what happened. And he just sort of come out himself and, sort of, you know, crossed them off. So he is very fast.
The big question mark, Andy, I guess, for you and Kate is how aggressive you do get at the start. You must talk all week about form, and then when I come to interview you 5 minutes before the race, you're still talking to Kate, so I don't know why things get left at the last minute all the time. But if you're incredibly aggressive, you probably know you're going to get the front, but there is that risk that if you've burnt extremely hard and something kicks up inside you, potentially Speeding Spur, then you have spent some petrol tickets on an unsuccessful bid. So it's going to be a query going into the race exactly how hard you want to go in that first 100, 200 metres.
Yeah, definitely. We've got to weigh up whether we're comfortable, we just come out nice and we can set our side Speeding Spur and beat him, or do we burn out the gate and have Speeding Spur sitting on our back after we've burned as well. So there's two scenarios there that we've got to take on board. And not only that, you've got to save our pennies, who can run the gate pretty good too, and it might sort of, you know, be a factor coming out the gate as well. So, there's a lot of things to weigh up.
Have you visited Kmart or any one of those places in the last couple of days to buy some more clips or bobby pins? Make sure those bandages don't unravel? You, please tell us what went through your mind at about the 400 the other night.
I was just glad that I didn't do the bandages and it was Kate that I actually had a home to go to. Added a lot of drama, a lot of theatre, and gave you an opportunity to put another great call in. But it wasn't ideal. The horse didn't miss a beat with it.
Didn't actually, did he?
You know, he didn't. Maybe he found a little bit with it. We might try and do the same again. it was hard and mouth stuff. Luckily we got through it. It was just one of those things. You're trying to go through a procedure all the time when you put those bandages on, do the same thing all the time. But we'll be extra careful this week.
And the bandages are on.
I was just going to say the hardest part was everyone had to watch, but Kate had no idea.
No,
she couldn't see it from where she was.
And the bandages were on. Is there a purpose for those? Why those bandages are on? Because I couldn't actually notice them in the run. Before they unravel, I didn't even know they were on.
Yeah, most trotters sort of touch their hind legs behind and wear sort of trotting boots. He hardly touches at all, so they're only mainly there for protection. And if he does hit one, he hits the near side one. So luckily the offside one come off. But, it was it wasn't that easy to watch.
Michael, for those who haven't seen the race or seen the call, it's stunning stuff. And Dan Malecki's call.
For those who took the shorts,
he turned a frenetic situation into a pretty special race call. It looked like a cape out there. He's the super trotter Tornado Valley running away. So I've watched that replay a few times this morning and last night, and go back and have a squeeze yourself.
I'm interested, Andy. Do you still think this is a two horse race, the final?
Oh no, definitely not. Again, horses have to get ranked to get in the heats in the first place, and then you've got to earn your way into the race. So, always, you know, before the series, I thought Save Our Pennies was going to be one of the main dangers, and I still think that. Tough Monarch's three runs have all been terrific. If there's an early burn, I think the back row draw will probably suit him because he can sort of run a really strong last 1,200. Kai Valley Blue is always a dangerous horse, multiple Group 1 winner. It's won over $500,000. It's more than a two-horse race in my mind.
Well, let's go around the table before we get onto the Pacers final. Bonners, I'll start with you. Mm. I want your selections now and how you see the race playing out.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you my top tip, and it's going to shock some people. I'm going to go with Tornado Valley to win the Inter-Dominion Trotting Grand Final at $1.70. But I'll tell you the horse I'm going to back. I'm going to back two. As long as these odds stay while we're still on air. $11 about Tough Monarch, I reckon, is overs. I'm more than happy to take that. And I'll take something, particularly with Kai Valley Blur's owner, Shawnee, standing in front of me. I'll take something each way on Kai Valley Blur as well. So I reckon they're both over the odds. Yes, Tornado Valley, $1.70. If you think he's going to be in front, it looks scrumptious. But I'm just tempted and attracted by the $11 and $14 about those two horses. I do think, and I know Dan's going to disagree vehemently with me here, that Speeding Spur will be able to hold the front from gate one.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say vehemently. I certainly oppose it in the red corner and you'd be in the blue corner. No, look, he's a good chance of doing it. There's no doubt about that, and he's got the right draw.
My question is, does he want to?
Yeah, that's really more so. Hot?
Well, is he going well enough to get into a war early?
But is he sharp enough to want to be trailing in transit? I think the only way is to stick the neck out and try and use his heart and spirit to win the race. And with gate one, I can understand them protecting the horse through the series, and that's the question mark. Tornado Valley crossed Speeding Spur very comfortably at Ballarat on night two of the series, but I don't think they were looking to really run the gate as hard as they possibly could. Neither was Tornado Valley, but I think on this occasion, we'll speak to the Dickies during the course of the week, I think they'll be desperate to hold the front personally.
Yeah, well, I think Tornado Valley, probably 9 of the 10 scenarios that I'll probably work out have Tornado Valley in front. The only one wouldn't be is Speeding Spur leading Tornado Valley sitting outside of it, but the chances of Tornado Valley starting to pull outside Speeding Spur is not going to help either horse.
No, I think ultimately it'll come down to how happy they are with Speeding Spur in getting through the heats and when they get close to the final. He looked to be out on his feet to me at the end of the heat at Cranbourne, and they had concerns about how well he'd get through the three qualifiers. They do have a week now to get him back for the final, but is a week enough to get him back to his absolute sharpest? If they're 100% happy, I'm in J-Bond's corner. If they're 90% happy, I think they'd be happy to sit on Tornado Valley and hope something else fires up and puts pressure on him.
Well, Andy will be able to walk past, I gather, his yard every morning there, and if he's actually close to the fence, I wonder if he gets a kick in the shins or not.
It'll be the old get smart days. A cone of silence will come down on the two camps, won't it?
It is quite an extraordinary situation. You go to all three Inter Dominion meetings, and there's Andy Gath and there's John Dickey right next to one another with the two leading chances in this series. And right now, in most people's minds, this is a match race. I don't particularly agree with that, but it's just incredible to think this will happen again on Saturday night. They'll be standing next to each other before they do war.
You're putting a rent up this week, won't you, Andy?
Yeah, definitely. I'm not sure how he's going to get there. I think I need my car and float, so I'm on the runway there.
I think they used your cart last week, didn't they?
Yeah.
It had Kate's name on it, I saw.
Yeah, no, they use it. They use our second cart, and even actually a few years ago when he actually beat us in the Great Southern Star, I ran second to him, and he borrowed my card and had to hose it and everything and as well. So
the air will be out of the tyres on Saturday night, I'm tipping.
So final word, Dan and Hamo, are you sticking with the favourite and confident, Luke?
I am. I just think he's in the zone, and others have got to catch up to him, not the other way around.
And I've got absolutely the same. Tornado Valley, plenty of respect for both Kai Valley Blur and Save Our Pennies. I understand if there's a scenario, if this double gets up, Jay Bond will be having a big party and shouting everyone. I could just imagine. Tough Monarch into San Carlo.
Yeah.
It is your shout, mate. You are in love with those horses.
I tell you right now, I think I'll be partying on Saturday night regardless. But it might just get a little bit bigger if those two horses win, particularly San Carlo, and particularly if Greg Hayes is on course, which he will be, because I'll be putting him front and square in front of Beck Butley, because he's been potting the horse for the last 10 days, I reckon, Mick Falgo.
Well, let's talk about the Paces final, because I haven't seen a market change like it. It's been quite remarkable. After the marbles fell, Cruz Romac, 350 at the 480 from 9. We've got I'm Pat's Delight, 750 into 380 from 3. San Carlo, 750 at the 9 from 8. 420 into 280 for Spankham from 5. Tiger Tara, 460 out to 7 from 7. Adam, what do you make of the new market and also what the draw does for the final?
I think the new market is... I think the TAB guys have done a really good job with this because they're not taking any bets on it, which means they've probably got the market right at this stage. Spankham has to be favourite from that draw. And what about what a revelation he's been? I mean, he was $21 before they ran a heat to win the final.
And you said he wasn't even going to come.
No, it was only 3 days before the cutoff that Mark Purden actually said, oh, yeah, the owners are Spankham McKean, so he's going to come across as well.
When was the last time a horse ends up favourite in a Dominion and started the series of C1?
Yeah, it's remarkable, isn't it, under the different handicapping system. He could go to, you know, wherever the trots are today and run in a scumper race there, but now he's favourite to win the Inter Dominion final.
With all due respect to the scumpers out there, $2.80, though, he might be favourite, but $2.80 is surely too short. It's a sticky gate. I know straight after the draw you were thinking gate 5, that's an attractive draw for him. But with I'm Pat's Delight drawn inside him, and we know he's got some gate speed, Galactic Star 100% now Bondi holds the key to the race with what they want to do from gate 1, because he can hold everything early if he wants to.
Yeah.
So $2.80, I can't be taking $2.80. Whether he's supposed to be favourite or not is one issue, but $2.80 seems a trifle short for mine.
Yeah, I think in my having watched Galactic Star for the last couple of years, I don't think they'll try for an all-the-way win, but I think they'll want to make sure they maximise Barrier 1. So I think the initial response will be, we're holding the front for the first 200 or 300 metres to sort out the race, and I think he will absolutely do that. And then he's got to make a decision. If I'm Pat's Delight and Spankham come at him hard, I think he'll hand up to the first of those good ones to him. But that's my take. Greg Bond never talks tactics before a race, so we won't get anything out of him before it. But that's just my take, having watched Galactic Star. I think they'll feel he's a length off the best horses. He's not good enough to lead throughout and win it, but he can follow, and if they go hard up front, he's got a lethal kick. He could sprint lane them.
We might have to tap Greg Bond's phone. If he's not going to tell us during the week, because he holds the key to the race, Dan, look, if you won't tell us, we might have to, you know, use some illegal means to try and work out what he's going to do, because it will totally change the race for so many runners whether Galactic Star holds the front or hands up to an Iron Pat's Delight or a Spankham.
But Adam's point is that he could lead and almost bluff the first 200 metres, so nothing comes flying out. I think that's the critical point. When horses fly out humming over 2,700 metres, it changes the dynamics of a race. It becomes a genuine survival of the fittest because it's a staying race. So if he's able to bluff for the first 200 and then the next 400 metres is run at a mundane pace, it gives horses that are tough enough to make a move without overexerting themselves, and I think that suits those horses that could dominate from a top four position.
And just a real quick one, a bizarre situation. Now, I'm assuming that Todd McCarthy absolutely drives Tiger Tara, but suddenly a horse he picked up as a catch drive in the series is more favoured to win the final than Tiger Tara, Galactic Star. But I believe Ryan Warwick's stable driver will come across from Perth to drive Galactic Star.
Well, Andy, I want to bring you in here. Andy Gath, not just that quandary, but also we've got the Spankham Cruz Bromac quandary with Nat Rasmussen. Spankham 5, Cruz Bromac 9. Who do you think she'll be driving?
Yeah, for some reason, I think she'll stick with Cruz Bromac. She seems to have an affinity with that horse, and I think Mark will come over and drive Spankham. But, again, that's only my thoughts. You know, they're not great draws for either horse. Obviously, Spankham being off the front row, but it is a lot of speed inside him and outside him. So, yeah, but I think she'll stick with Cruz Bromac.
This is gonna sound pretty crazy to people who know what a great trainer Mark Purden is. I would say he's less of a chance because of the aggression that will be required at the start, and that is such an aggressive driver. If she drives Spankham, I'd be more willing to concede that he's a better winning chance. If Mark comes over, I think he'll be more conservative at the start, meaning that Owen Pat's Delight is in a much better position to take the Premier role if Galactic Star wants to hand up. Do we agree with that? Or
it's a strong scenario, though. There's no doubt about that. I'm trying to put an asterisk next to the most interesting horse in the first 400 metres, and I keep coming back to Tiger Tara. I think we talked about with Lauren before about the make or break situation, and I think the only horse that is capable of doing that in the first 400 to change a dynamic in this race is Tiger Tara. If it goes forward, it'll have to come out humming, you would think, or that scenario that Adam mentioned about Galactic Star, a bit of a bluff for the first 200, taking a trail on a horse is up there, identifying that situation. I imagine that may well be Tiger Tara.
Yeah, I just think that whichever of Nat or Mark drive Spankham, their number one thing will be not to let Tiger Tara get around them. So, because of the suspicion that he might be able to find the front. Andy, I think you're across these stats, but Tiger Tara is likely to have to sit outside the leader and try and win. And it's virtually mission impossible in big races at Melton, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's only about three or four horses last season that were able to do it, 2,200 plus. And one
sitting
of them,
outside the leader the whole way. Leader, Lazarus.
Tonoto Valley.
Yep.
Princess Tiffany.
Right.
And Hoonien, amazingly.
Wow.
And I think they won 158-1.
So basically three champions of their own era and
a superstar
and a floater
in Hoonien.
Yeah, that's it. So, so it is amazing stats. So, you know, it's going to be mission impossible to sit in the death and win this race. But
when you say sit in the death, are we talking sit in the death for 2,400 metres, or are we talking about sitting in the death for the last 1,100?
Yeah, obviously.
Big difference.
It is. If there's a really fast lead time and they all go hard early and something comes around late, obviously they're a winning chance then.
Gents, it's going to be a fascinating scenario on Saturday night. We'll debate it and discuss it a lot more throughout the week on RSN 927. But as we sit here this morning, before we say goodbye, give us your selection. Bonners, do I need to ask?
You don't. And I think he's going to be behind the leader or three poles. And from the price perspective particularly, I'm going to say San Carlo. I do think he can still win the race. I can hear Greg Hayes to my left. It's disgusting, his hatred of this horse. He's going to be in a great position. If they run really hard here, I don't think anyone can deny that he's a winning hope. Well, Hayes will. But San Carlo, I'm going to go with on top. And I reckon also, This $7 for Tiger Tara looks really attractive to me. Anyone that wants to go back and watch his run on the New Zealand Cup, I don't care what he has to do. He's still the best horse in the race. And I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm Patched a Lot or Spankham's going to be in front or Galactic Star's going to be in front. So right now, without that information, I'll go with the best horse, Tiger Tara, at $7. And San Carlo, who I think is drawn really nicely for him at $9, Dan.
Dan, give us who you think's the one to be.
I think the winner will have NZ next to its name.
Oh, come on, Ben.
that's the first three favourites.
Yeah. I was going to say three quarters of the field. Yeah. But, look, I've got to stick with Cruz Bromack. He's quite an imposing individual. He's a lovely, very athletic-looking horse. I think he's come through. Could a horse have had three easier runs in Inter-Dominion heats? Can you ever remember a horse having as easy a time?
Maybe El Sue in Auckland back in the late 90s.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sticking with Cruz Bromack, but I think it has opened up a little. There's two or three more chances than I was giving an hour and a half ago.
Andy, best of luck with you and Tornado Valley and the Trotters. If you could put the sulky behind one in the paces, who would it be?
Yeah, I'll probably go with Galactic Star. I just think from the barrier draw, been really, you know, impressed by what it's done. It's found the line strong every time, and yeah, I think it's an ideal draw. And I think you got to win a heat to win the final. Only two haven't won a heat since 2000. That's been Mr. Feelgood and Yule Star, and I think you have to win a heat to win the Inter-Dominion, and it's 1-1 and it's got the good draw.
Adam?
Galactic Star. Each Gee way. Whiz. Great right. chance. I think he'll be behind the leader and get the last crack at them.
$15 into $5.50 after the draw from one. It's been so much fun down here, gents. Thank you for your time. Thanks to Harness Racing Victoria and Tabcorp for helping put on the massive morning down at Zinca ID18, the barrier draws. We'll continue to count down on RSN 927 throughout the week on Wednesday. We've got our big preview show as well from 9:30. In the meantime, to all the connections who are here, including Shawnee, yes. Best of luck on the weekend.
okay?
Yes, we'll be cheering you on and everyone else. As we continue to count down on RSN 927. On Racing Pulse tomorrow, we've got a special edition of The Verdict. We'll be having a chat to Bob Peters to find out what's happening with his superstar, Acadia Queen. We'll also have a chat to Zach Purton after winning two of the majors, the Hong Kong International Meeting. We'll also try and track down Peter Volandis. He's had a pretty quiet week, really. Discuss more of that issue on The Verdict tomorrow. In the meantime, if you're having a bet today, good luck. We'll be back tomorrow from 8:30.